Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast of the week of March 25th. And we're joined today by my colleague, Father Ray Schroth. Welcome, Father Ray.
Thanks for inviting me.
Now, you have the cover story in this issue called, well, it's titled on the cover, In Retrospect, America on Vietnam. And the article itself is called America at War. Maybe you can introduce this article and tell us why you were kind of the right person to write this.
Well, I'd like to take credit for thinking it up, but I didn't. Matt Malone pointed out to me that this is an anniversary of the end of the war. And somehow, I guess I told him that I used to work at the magazine back in the late 60s when I was still a scholastic in the society and right around the time of getting ordained. And so I was here when we were covering the war. And Vietnam was sort of deep in my imagination for several reasons. One, I mentioned at the beginning of the article, I was a student in Paris in 1954. And I was very interested in French politics because some of my French student friends were going to go to Algeria and be in the service there, which is on the brink of revolution. And one day I walked out of my dorm, and there was this music, this classical music, booming around through the streets. And it was Berlioz's Requiem, because the outpost in the north of the French Foreign Legion had fallen to the Viet Cong, to the Communist Army. And this was in memoriam for the French and the South Vietnamese friends who died in that battle. But it was also the end of an empire. And didn't occur to me at that moment that someday I would be writing about Vietnam as politically, or also that I would visit it.
Well, the basic gist of your article is that the conflict that was in the country about the war in Vietnam was really manifested on the staff of the magazine, who were really supportive of the war from the beginning.
Yeah. It was the way that this particular group of writers had of looking at the world. And I don't mean this. It's certainly not a moral fault on their part, but part of it came from the way the magazine worked. The tasks were divided into turfs. And there were just one guy in particular, Father Carney, who was the assigned expert on the Far East, Africa, and the Middle East, which is a lot of turf. And he had very strong feelings that were shared by Father Ben Massey, and both of them had been to Vietnam, that world communism is the great threat against civilization, against everything that we stood for, against the America, even though we're not in a war. And so that the threat of spreading communism was the priority of political and moral life. And therefore, it was an obligation of the United States to do everything possible, and particularly Catholics, because there's a good Catholic population in South Vietnam. Diem, the president, was a Catholic. Cardinal Spellman of New York, who was politically much engaged prelate, had been there and had contacts there. And so it sort of became our crusade to save that country.
Right. I mean, that's a key element, is the Catholic nature of the South Vietnamese government. Diem, I believe, visited the America House at one point.
Oh, really?
Father Matt told me that he signed the guest book downstairs. Uh-huh. So there was this connection, much in the way that during the Spanish Civil War, a generation earlier, this connection to the Catholic leadership perhaps might have blinded the editors to some of the other issues at stake.
Yeah. And then as the years went by, I tried to do as much traveling as I could when I was teaching at various Jesuit universities. And this was in the 90s, I guess. I was at New Orleans, Loyola, and I had a chance to go to Vietnam because I was just free during that summer, and I got permission. I just went. and landed in Hanoi and spent a lot of time there. And I did, there's a piece in the paper the other day about Senator McCain. It was the anniversary of his plane falling into crashing into the North Vietnam. And I went jogging when I was in Hanoi. Got up in the morning and found that the whole city goes jogging at 7 a.m. And I just followed the crowd. And we went out to this big lake. And I realized where I was. That's the pond where McCain parachuted into when his plane went down. And they hauled him out. And the prison, also known as the Hanoi Hilton, was also in that neighborhood. So it was very ironic. Here I am when this famous American sort of almost died. And a group of students came running up to me when I stopped to get a little breath. And they said, "What was I doing there? what brought me to their city to run around with them?" And I said, "Well, I just wanted to meet you and see what it's like." And I really got a true love for the country. And went down to Hue and Da Nang, and then to Saigon. And at the time, coincidentally, the bishop had died, and his body was on display in the cathedral. And when I was in Hanoi, I had visited I hate to call it a tomb, but the burial, and he's not buried. The body of Ho Chi Minh is preserved under glass, pretty much the way Lenin is in Moscow. And I paid my respects to the leader of the North, and then I got to the South, and I paid my respects to the religious leader of the South.
Well, it was definitely a complicated time in the country and at the magazine. And at the beginning, you know, America wasn't alone in its support of the Vietnam War, at least among the Catholic press.
Right.
But it continued to be supportive longer than many other Catholic media.
Yeah, that was the interesting thing. I was going through a transition myself at that time because I had been in the Army for 2 years, and my father had been in World War I and was a war hero and decorated. And so it was, to me, we had a very strong patriotic streak, and I had to be willing to die for my country. And also, if you're in the service, you have to kill other people for your country. And I'd been in Germany in the anti-aircraft division, right on the close to the Russian border. The point is that I was, psychologically, or at least, I don't know, I think, ready for battle, which would include dying myself and killing the enemy. Now, here I am. I'm at Woodstock Seminary outside Maryland. The war is on, and my fellow seminarians are very concerned about the morality of the war. And it was a big part of our conversation. And we had invited lecturers to come in and talk to us about it. And so I was just beginning to get a deeper understanding of just war theory, what proportional means are, and the rights of civilian and innocent people, and where there really is no justification to directly tolerate the killing of innocent civilians. And that was the main issue in Vietnam. Everyone remembers that expression that we had to destroy this village in order to save it. And the poor fellow who said that, he meant it. The tactic was you shell this village, and until you've killed, you think as if you can kill all the communists that are in it, and then you take it, and then you're supposed to rebuild it and give it to the good people. Well, the way things often worked along those lines, you couldn't tell who was a communist and who was not a communist among the Vietnamese people. And many of them would pretend to be on our side, and then nighttime comes and they slip off somewhere and participate in some sabotage. So we really did not have the number of Vietnamese people supporting us that we thought we had.
Yeah, it was. I mean, looking back at it, you can see the real, you know, how engaged the editors were with it, and how complicated it was. And we actually write an editorial on this issue, listing some of the historical forces, the context that was at play here. One of which is that, you know, the editors themselves were from a Catholic minority, so they were sympathetic towards a Catholic minority.
Yeah.
That's what they were supporting. Mm-hmm. They were also perhaps hesitant to criticize American policy at a time where Catholics, the loyalty of Catholics was still kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
So there were those dynamics too.
Yeah.
Now, we also print here 20 years worth or selections from 20 years worth of editorials on Vietnam.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about those? I mean, some of them are pretty shocking to read now.
Yeah. Well, it was very, I'd say, I put them in three categories. One were the early editorials, which might begin with some ambiguity. It would say something like, it's been brought to our attention that a bombing by the American forces hit innocent people. And that is certainly bad, and we shouldn't do that again. However, the enemy, they bombed, then they would mention some terrible atrocity that the North Vietnamese troops had performed, as if that sort of erases the effect of our earlier mistake. And then there is the other type of, where the editorial or the comment is based on something they've read in the New York Times or the Herald Tribune. The editors at those times were very dependent on a couple of newspapers for most of what they knew. And there was also a Catholic priest in Vietnam who was not a military chaplain, but independent, who did a lot of writing for the Catholic press, and they used him as a source. So they would say, the New York Times' David Halberstam, who today is among journalists, is deeply revered, he and Sheehan, as one of the great war correspondents of all time. And then he wrote these big, heavy, scholarly books about the war and about the media and all those things. So he was great stuff. But to them, to our editors who are writing these things, well, he was sort of too quick to criticize the church. And he has become a mouthpiece for communist people. They even said one time Robert Kennedy criticized the developments of the war, particularly what was beginning to be signs of our war crimes. And they say, well, it's too bad that Senator Kennedy has allowed himself to be a propaganda agent for for the communists.
No, they don't mince words. They're critical of Martin Luther King, too, for joining in this movement.
Yeah, yeah. Too bad about Martin Luther King. That was one type. Right? The other was a sort of where they saw themselves as clever writers. And there was a peace demonstration up in Central Park, and one of our men went out there and wrote sort of heavily loaded, kind of snide.
Very snide.
Very, very snide, satirical about these peaceniks. They're wearing beads and they need haircuts, and they've got all kinds of communist words on their shirts or written on their bodies, and they got rings in their noses and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Fortunately, there were not many black Negro demonstrators who would have followed Martin Luther King on something like this.
Right. No, it was pretty scathing. And I want to quote, I mean, there was also this generational difference among the Jesuit that you can see developing among this older crowd who prepped. Some of the editors who were here were very supportive of the war. And at one point, Wright condemning the practice of burning draft cards.
Yeah.
They say war is cruel. We need not glorify the conflict in Vietnam or indulge in outpourings of enthusiasm in order to justify it. But those who embark on a program to sabotage Selective Service are entitled to no support. And then, of course, within a few years, you have Jesuits burning draft cards.
Yeah, so. Right.
So this was a really divided country, a divided religious order, too. Now, how did this end? I mean, we end with an editorial in 1971 where it appears that the magazine decided to take a different stance.
Gradually, there'd be these, as if someone in the office had pulled the shade and opened the windows and let the light in from time to time. One very important turning point was John McLaughlin was the Jesuit John McLaughlin, who is now a well-known talk show, conservative talk show host on Sunday mornings. But at that time, he thought we should stop the bombing. And he wrote a strong article making the case for a bombing pause, and even mentioned the first time I'd seen it like it, that these people whom we are killing are also human beings, and what makes them our fellow humans or fellow brothers. And that sort of jumped off the page at me because I didn't see it very often. So bit by bit, the light was coming through. And then there was a change in editors. And Donald Campion came in. Don was by no means a flaming liberal or anything like that. He's a sociologist and a very thoughtful guy. But it was Easter, and they're looking for a topic to sort of get into the Easter mood for an Easter editorial, and somehow it coincided with a couple of mass murders.
And the Manson murders, right.
The Manson murders in California, and the My Lai massacre.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And it dawned on him, he said, well, these are sort of the local murders, the Manson murders. Like, we didn't do that, and but there's a sense in which we're responsible, because all of us are responsible for the behavior of one another and setting up the situations that allow these things to happen. And the same thing was true of My Lai. We're back here. We, the readers, didn't do it. But we know the people who did it is our representatives, our army, and it's a terrible, terrible crime. And we have to acknowledge it, that too many people are being killed. And it's got to stop. It can no longer be justified the way we have justified it up to this time. And we have to stop the killing, and we've got to get out. That's the word that America had changed.
Right? That was April 1971.
Yeah.
So it was pretty late in the game.
Well, in 1967-68, I like to say our competition or our brother or sister magazines, Common Wheel, I think the National Catholic Reporter, and U.S. Catholic, all had made very strong statements, basically. I think Peter Steinfeld wrote the lead editorial at Common Wheel. Vietnam is a crime and a sin, and the other two publications took similar stands, and they said we do not have a moral right to be there, and it took us 3 years, 4 years later.
And then we, as I said, editorialize about it, and we write that, you know, we basically ask. This is a quote. We ask for forgiveness for what we have done and for what we have failed to do, and we join our prayer with that of our predecessor on the masthead, that the people of the United States will be imbued with a burning sense of contrition and a renewed purpose to do better as a people. Last question. Why do you think it's important that we actually apologize for this?
Because it is important to learn from experience. The idea is if you don't learn from experience, you do it again. One way of looking at life is that experience is the best teacher, and another way is it very, very often fails, and people don't learn. And frankly, many are beginning to make the analogies between Vietnam and Afghanistan. That's a 10-year war. That's the longest war we've ever had, and we don't seem to be doing that much good. Especially what's beginning to happen with the drones, is a way of killing without accepting the emotional responsibility.
Well, there's many things to learn from this chapter in America history, and we thank Father Ray Schroth for spending the time and doing the research and telling us this story. Thanks very much.
Thank you.